Baptism Sundays are always just a great, great day of celebration, and we're so excited for what God is doing in the lives of these individuals, and man, we are all part of that story. You guys got this? See that there? All right, we're good. We're good. Well, it is Palm Sunday, if you haven't figured that out yet, and Palm Sunday is an incredible day. It sets the tone for the week that was to follow, Holy Week. And when we think about this day, it's what we celebrate is Jesus entering Jerusalem. And while he is hailed as king and while others are celebrating him coming to this place of power and authority, he knew he was on a different mission. He knew what was going to happen at the end of that week where nobody else knew what awaited him. But it's this day and it's this week that we celebrate leading up to Easter that changed the world forever. And it's what Jesus did on the cross. It's what he did in the tomb, the empty grave that we celebrate. And that's why we can celebrate life change, because we believe in the power of the resurrection and that ability that God's Spirit can transform our lives. And when I think about this week and when I think about Palm Sunday and what Jesus was getting ready to enter in, as we're in this series and wrapping that up today, the Deeper Waters series, I think Jesus was getting ready to enter the deepest waters. I mean, I can't imagine deeper waters to go and to endure than what we are going to be talking about in this week and what we celebrate on Good Friday and on Easter. And so today, as we are in this series and as we think about Palm Sunday and we wrap all of this up, this whole Lent season where we've been seeking the deeper waters, I want to talk about what does it look like to have water for others? What does it look like to give ourselves up for others like Jesus did? The deeper waters, they weren't for himself, they were for us. And so what does that look like for us to live in the outflow? So if you have been a part of the series for all of these weeks, this is our seventh week in the series, and it all began when Jesus said to Peter, go out where it is deep. He called him away from the shallows. He called him away from the shore and say, would you take a step deeper? Would you go further in your faith? And you've been challenging us this entire series to say, what does it look like to take that step, to follow what Jesus has in those deeper waters? We talked about, you know, the waters that the living water that Jesus is, the deep well that we can drink from. We think about the woman at the well and how her life was transformed. We talked about going all in for baptism, right? And what does it mean to actually literally be submerged in deeper waters, to share that hope and that faith. We talked about the waters being parted, right, for Moses and the people crossing the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground. We talked about walking on water and all kinds of, we've got a lot of water. There's a lot of water examples in Scripture. And when we think about that, I think about these waters, and we've talked about, again, moving across the waters, we've been going under the waters, walking on the water, parting the water, all these different things. But so much of this deeper waters that we've been looking at is about how do I grow? And how do I grow deeper in my faith? And what I want to shift today is really do I grow in my faith, but how do I let that flow out of me? How do I bring water and how do I bring that refreshment to others? And so to frame that in today, I want to look at a tale of two seas. Not the letter C, but of two bodies of water. And so as we look at this map here, and it's a map, and you see maybe, you know, familiar Jerusalem, you see Jericho. This is this is modern day, you know, Israel and Jordan in this area. And we have these two seas. We have the Sea of Galilee up there, connected by the Jordan River, and you've got the Dead Sea. And so you look at these two seas, and I want to talk about these two seas. So let's look at the Sea of Galilee, also called Lake Kinneret today. And so you see it there in the distance, and it's just a beautiful place. I was hoping to go there during my sabbatical, but with the situation, the way those things, you know, things happened in the turmoil, we never got to go. And so I'm hoping one day to be able to still make it there. But it's a lake that's teeming with life. There's, the surrounding area is flourishing. It's central to the country, to the people that live there. And it's not actually all that big of a lake. It looks pretty big here, but it's like 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. And this sea is really the backdrop for even a lot of the stories that we talked about in this series. It's where Jesus taught from the shores. It's where he called Peter out into the deeper waters. It's where he calmed storms. It's where the miraculous catch and all those different things took place on this sea. And it's just like a lifeblood of vitality. So that's the one sea. And then remember, the second sea is the what? The Dead Sea. So take a look. This is the Dead Sea. Very different picture, isn't it? Do you know it's only 65 miles apart between these two seas? 65 miles, but actually as the Jordan flows, it's like 156 miles. So it meanders all the way through, but really only 65 miles separate these two. And what's crazy about the Dead Sea, some interesting things about it, is that if you wanted to walk on the lowest point on planet Earth, where you're still on dry ground, this is where you go. This is where you go. It's almost 1,500 feet below sea level. And so think about it, and so actually it's like if you went to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, you'd have to go another 4,000 feet deeper to get to the level where this is at. And so the Jordan River flows into here, and yet, why is it like this? Why does it look like that? It's so salty, the water, that nothing can survive in it. It's 10 times saltier than the ocean. So those that have gone there before, you can just kind of lay in the water and just float on top of the water. Right, so there's no life, though. And it's been like this for generations, and that's why it's called the Dead Sea. Two seas, 65 miles apart. Let's look at them side by side. You see quite a different contrast, right? Why is one flourishing, and why is one dead? They're both fed by the life-giving waters of the Jordan River. Do you know why? Any guesses? No outflow. Good job. You get a star, whoever said that. See, the Sea of Galilee has the Jordan River flowing into it and flowing out of it. But at the end of the Jordan River is the Dead Sea, and so it has all this life-giving water flowing into it, but yet there is no outflow. And so what happens is water gets stagnant. Water gets stale. It stays there, and all kinds of things can, you know, begin, and then the water just evaporates. And as the water evaporates, the sea continues to get saltier and saltier. And so we look at these two images side by side, and I want to ask us today, which one are you? When we think about the deeper waters, when we think about our spiritual lives, are we flourishing or are we salty? You know, now the Dead Sea is way bigger. It's like, I don't know, it's like 7 times bigger. I mean, it's like, or 13 times bigger. It's way bigger, but yet there's no life there. And when I think about this and I wonder, what does this look like for us? Are we the life that only receives and only takes in but has no outflow? There's your image. Or are we people who live in that outflow, those who can make a difference? And what the difference is that moving water is what cleanses. Moving water is what brings that life. And so as we wrap up the series, I want to think through, how does that look for us? What does that look like for us to have that living water? What does that look like for us to have that outflow so that we can be this picture and not that one? Because we can talk about all of the deep water stuff over all these weeks, but if there isn't life in us, we're missing the point, and the outflow is the key, the movement of water and life-giving water through us. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. Let's pray and just ask God to open our hearts to what he has to say to us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the celebrations this morning of the baptisms and these stories from younger and older to just everything in between of how you're moving and still transforming lives. And Father, today as we wrap up the series and as we've been talking about these deeper waters, God, I pray that you would give us another opportunity to take a step further with you today, to be transformed, to be made new, and to experience you in a powerful way as you call us out into the deep. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this whole series we've been talking about deeper waters, right? And so I find it kind of interesting today. Did you all get some water as you came in today? Yeah, you got some water. I mean, this, or maybe not, if you want, we can still maybe get some for you. But this is an 8-ounce bottle of water. 8 ounces, that's a cup, right? So it's not a whole lot of water. But, you know, nice little glass here. Does that look good? How many of you guys like water? Oh, I didn't even realize this was an 8-ounce glass. Apparently it's an 8-ounce glass. Actually, I'm going to take a sip. So we have this contrast. We're talking about deeper waters. This is not very deep water. 8 ounces. What's the significance of this glass of water? It doesn't seem like much, but I want us to look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 10. Actually, I want to just tell you about the chapter first. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples. And if you follow this chapter, He's getting ready to prepare them to go out and to share the hope of you know, and the message of who Jesus is, and just, you know, preaching the kingdom of God is coming, and he's sending them out. But it's not a very encouraging passage if you think about it from one level. Because he said, you're going to face some pretty difficult things. He says, as a matter of fact, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Doesn't sound very good, does it? That sounds like you're going to get devoured. That sounds like you're going to get chewed up. That seems like it is a death wish to be a sheep among wolves. And that's, yes, that's what Jesus is doing. And then I looked at that verse, and as he's sending them out and preparing them, I just pulled these verses right out of these words out of that chapter. These are just some of the words you read about going and sharing the hope of Jesus. There's words like persecution, betrayal, trials, people will hate you, kill you, division, enemies, cross, lose your life. You ready to sign up? So he's got this verse. He said, it's going to be tough. It's going to be challenging to live out that your faith and to share that with others and to have this outflow and to do that. But then I find it very interesting. He ends with this verse, which seems so out of framework from all the rest of what he says. He ends with this in Matthew 10, 42, and he says, and if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. So he goes through all of this. You're going to be a sheep among wolves. You're going to have all this trouble. And then he says, but if you give even just a cup of cold water to the one of the least of these, my followers, you will be rewarded. What is the significance of giving a cup of cold water? How is this part of deeper waters? How does this grow us? How does that nourish us? And so I spent some time just thinking about that. And I want to talk today about what does it look like to live in the outflow? What does this look like? And living in the outflow to give a cup of cold water. And so if you think about this, I want to talk through four things that are really key for us to live in the outflow so that we're not one of those stagnant lakes. We're not the Dead Sea. And so the first thing, it's quite obvious a lot of these things, but let's just think about it. The first thing you have to do if you want to give someone a cup of cold water, if you're looking to live in the outflow, the first thing you need to do is you need to notice someone's need, right? You need to notice the need. If you want to live in the outflow, you need to notice. You need to notice that something's going on around you, that somebody has a need, somebody's thirsty, somebody needs something. You've been places where people need a cup of cold water, right? People are, throats are parched, they're tired, maybe at a sporting event. Maybe you just invite them into your home and out of a gesture of courtesy, hey, can I get you something to drink? Can I offer you some water? Right? We have to see, we have to notice a need. And so if we want to live in the outflow, the first thing we have to do is look beyond ourselves. And when we think about all this deep waters, we want to go deeper, but we have to learn here in the outflow to look beyond ourselves and say, God, what are you doing around me? And then we have to find that compassion and love. We see something. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, he often looked over at the crowds, and he said he felt compassion for them. There was something there that drew him towards them. And so if we want to live in the outflow, we have to see those needs. We have to feel that compassion and notice things that others don't. But I feel like we live in a world right now. Have you ever been in public places or public transit or in a waiting room or at a stoplight or in a public place when you're not with people that you know? What's everybody doing? I feel like our ability to notice has gone away. We don't notice anymore. Our head is down. Our head is consumed with things that feed us, things that matter to us, things that interest us, things that entertain us. And one of the things, if we want to live in the outflow, we got to get our head up. We got to see. We got to notice. God, what are you doing around me? What are the needs of those that are here? How do I see this? And what you have to realize is that no need is too small. And we think a cup of water. Like, what's a cup of water? Like, how much is this? Like, 25 cents or something? Probably like $18 today, I don't know. tariffs. it's made in China. I don't know, interesting. Anyway, I digress. it's just a cup of water. And we think, what does a cup of water do? But a cup of water carries all kinds of nutrients. There's all kinds of things that can happen if you're parched. Just a cup of water can ease your mind. If somebody's in distress, it can put them at ease. It can refresh. It can replenish, you know, just the blood vessels and the things in your body that it can bring some life and it can bring nourishment. You think, it's just a cup of water, just 8 ounces. What difference can it make? And it can make a difference. It says it can cool the body. It can begin reversing heat-related illness, support the heart and blood pressure, stabilize mood and brain clarity. Just from a cup of cold water. it can make a difference. So the important things we need to notice, we need to get up, we need to look and see. If we want to live in the outflow, you got to notice. What is happening? What are the needs of the people around you? So that's step one. The second is this. We need to inconvenience ourselves. If you want to live in the outflow, first you got to notice, but then you got to inconvenience yourself. If I want to give you some water, I got to go, first I got to recognize what you need, then I got to go buy it, or I got to go get it. You ever in your family do that? You sit down and you're watching TV and then somebody else in the family is about to sit down. Like, hey, before you sit down, can you? Okay. Right? You have to inconvenience ourselves if we want to serve someone else, if we want to do something for them. It costs us time. It costs us money. It costs us effort. Even though it may not be much, there's something that we would need to do. But the irony is most of us would rather receive than give, right? I want for me. But if I want to live in the outflow, I have to give something to you. And it's this very simple thing that if I give something away, I have less, right? I mean, if I give it away, I have less. And you have more. And we live in a world where, well, I want more. I want to receive. I want to have something here. And you know what I find is so interesting is in that picture of the Dead Sea, it continues to receive. It continues to receive, and yet it's shrinking. It doesn't even have an outflow. You'd think it would continue to grow. You'd think it would, but there's some principle at work there that it just keeps evaporating. It's getting saltier, and I think there's a picture there for us that some of us think, I just got to keep receiving more for me, more for me, and we look up and go, where is it all going? Where are the resources? Where are the things? And it's evaporating, and we can't hold on to it. We're getting saltier. The Bible says there's a thing at play here about generosity, about living in the outflow. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and God will generously provide all you need, and I love this, then you will always have everything you need, and what? Plenty left over to share with others. It's this idea of I inconvenience myself, but it's not about losing more. God provides for me. I want to live open-handed, not closed-fisted, so that God continue to provide for me. But the irony is, the second we close and try to hold on to it, it tends to evaporate. How do we live in that generosity? How do we come to that place where I'm willing to inconvenience myself, notice, and go and do something for you? Some of us, we can get this far, all right, we're here, but there's something that happens often at this point. Do you ever talk yourself out of doing something good for somebody else? Or you see somebody and you're like, I'm going to do something. Then you get there and it's like, oh, it's just a cup of water. Like, it's not a big deal. Or somebody else can do it, or maybe they can take care of it themselves, or I'm just so busy, right? So here's the next thing. We need to engage personally. If we want to live in the outflow, you don't only have to notice, you have to inconvenience yourself, but what God's calling us to, when you bring a cup of cold water, if I'm bringing you a cup of cold water, I have to engage personally. I have to come up to you, can I give you a cup of cold water? It's me bringing you the water. It's not just me being like, here, take the water, right? And when we engage personally, we connect with people. And we live in a culture and society where it's easier maybe to send money or maybe just to kind of put it off on somebody else, but what God is calling us to do and what Jesus is saying, engage personally. Get down, connect with another person. Get your hands dirty. Get in there. When we do our churches left the building in the summer, and we'll do it again this summer as well, where we go out on a Sunday morning, and it's just one of those examples where we have to actually go and engage personally. It's not just a, hey, come here on Sunday mornings. You know where we are. We're a church here. Just come and find us. No, we're going to go. We're going to engage personally. We're going to touch people. We're going to do work. We're going to get involved in the lives of others. When I think about our Honduras mission partner, Heart to Honduras, we don't just go and or just send money or that. We go and we build relationship. It's built on a relationship model where we're committed for years to say we're going to continue to come back and we're going to continue to invest in this community. And we are sending people not just money because the relationship matters. And I want to engage personally with people. And so when we engage personally with people and we have that opportunity and they take a drink and there's like refreshment, we've helped them. And you might go, but I can't help and solve all their problems, but even just a cup of cold water can begin to change the tone, can't it, in a relationship. It can make a difference. And then here's the fourth part. If we've engaged personally, then we need to create connection. That's ultimately the goal. The ultimate goal is that we have a connection, that it's not just, you know, that I'm out there like just sending you water. I want to connect with you. I want to be in relationship with you. And it creates a bond when I give of myself, when I've invested in myself. Have you ever felt this way too? When somebody says, man, you noticed. When you say, man, you noticed, you saw the need I had. You saw that what I needed, and you met that need. You came alongside. You cared. You took time. And what I want to get across is it's not about the water, although the water can help. It's about connecting you, and it's about connecting people to Jesus. Like, what did Jesus say, right? He gives this parable about the in the end, when he separates, you know, the sheep and the goats, and not literally like the farm animals, but saying those who are going to go into heaven and those who aren't going to make it in. And one of the criteria that he says is, when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. One of the things he taught, when I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. And he seems to say, like, it's these little things. It's living in that outflow. It's noticing. It's creating connection. And then he says, when you did it unto the least of these, you were doing it to me. And so Jesus shows up in those moments. And what happens is that caring then, that connection breaks down the barriers. And I think when Jesus is sending out his disciples and when he sends us out into the world to engage and connect with others, and if it's all about doctrine and theology or what we believe or all these things, the right understanding, and we forget about serving others, we miss it. But when we serve, it breaks down that barrier, creates that connection. And then there's this bonus. Jesus said, and surely you will be rewarded. In the end, he's saying, there's a reward for you. There's growth for you. There's something that he's going to do for you. And I think about Proverbs 11:25. It says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's in refreshing others that we ourselves are refreshed. When we get past ourselves and we think it's only just for us and, oh man, I got to inconvenience myself and I don't want to have time to notice anybody else and I got to engage personally and got to create a connection and it feels like it might be a lot. We are rewarded in that those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That, my friends, is living in the outflow. And no act is too small to be rewarded. And so I think about these four steps. Let's throw those four steps back up here. Living in the outflow. Notice their need, inconvenience yourself, engage personally, and create connection. Just from a cup of cold water. Let's see how this plays out in the story of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan, right? I'm going to read the parable of the Good Samaritan. It won't be up on the screen, but I just want you to look at these and think, let's see what's happening here in this process. So Jesus, you know, is telling a story when the man asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told this story. He said, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Remember that picture before? That was up there. But he said, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him up and left him half dead beside the road, right? So there's a guy on the road, he's dying, or he's been beat up, he's bleeding, it's not looking very good. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. What did he do? Did he notice? I mean, he noticed. I mean, he saw there was a guy there, right? I mean, he absolutely noticed him. Did he inconvenience himself? I'm going to go other side. No time for that. And this was like a fellow countryman for him, a man of his own blood. A temple assistant walked over. Next was a temple assistant and walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. So did the temple assistant, did he notice the need? Yes. Did he inconvenience himself? I mean, he was like, he did. I mean, he took a little more time than the other guy. He at least wanted to take a look, but that's it. He stopped. He wasn't willing to do that. And then it says, then a despised Samaritan came along of a different, right? He wasn't a Jew. This was a Samaritan. They didn't like each other. The despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, did he notice? He saw the man, right? He felt compassion for him. Verse 34 in Luke 10, it says this. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. What's he doing here? He's inconvenienced himself. He's engaging personally. He's bandaging his wounds. He's putting him up on his donkey. He's taking them to the inn. He's paying for his bills and for the inn. And then it says, next verse, the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. So, what does that even say? The next time I'm here, he's creating connection. This isn't just a one and done. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to check on him, and I'm going to see what's happening. And what we're seeing here is this is someone living in the outflow, and what Jesus is saying, now go and do the same. He says, yes, now go and do the same. Be a neighbor to somebody else. That's living in the outflow. Let's try it again with the story of the, as we're heading into Easter week, we think about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And we think about these steps. It says that Jesus was sitting at the table at the Last Supper with his disciples, and it says he got up from the table, took off his outer garment, tied a robe around his waist, he grabbed a bowl of water, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. And I think he noticed their need. They had dirty feet. This was a common practice. Did he inconvenience himself? You guys are all just really ready and excited to wash people's feet, right? Yeah. I mean, he had to inconvenience himself. Did he engage personally? Absolutely. He touched their feet. Now, Peter has this, he's like, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you don't have a part of me. And he's speaking even more spiritually in that way of this connection. And Peter's like, well, in that case, wash all of me. And I want to be connected to you. But then Jesus said, no, only the feet are dirty. Like, again, he noticed the need. He focused on that. And then he washed his feet. But I think about that connection, right? Unless I wash you, you don't have a part of me. There's this connection. There's this bond. And so we see this playing out over and over, that we live in that outflow, that we see it in Jesus and we see it in others. And here's what Jesus says at the end of this telling of the foot washing in John 13. He says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Do that. Wash someone's feet. Bring them a cup of cold water. Notice the need. Inconvenience yourself. Engage personally. Create a connection. And watch what happens as we live in that outflow. So let's look again at this picture of these two C's. The difference between inflow only or inflow and outflow. Which one are you? Are you the Sea of Galilee or are you the Dead Sea? Are you teeming with life? Where are you getting salty? You know what I find is interesting? That the Dead Sea is actually way deeper than the Sea of Galilee. It's 7 times deeper. And this threw me for a loop. I was like, this doesn't work with my teaching. Because we're talking about deep waters, and how can that sea be deeper than that one? 7 times deeper. Aren't we being called the deep waters? And yet that's deep waters, and we don't want those deep waters. We want these deep waters. But as I thought about it, I don't want us to miss this point. Spiritual maturity is not measured by our depth alone, but by our outflow. Spiritual maturity is not just measured by the depth that we have if we don't have an outflow. It doesn't matter if we think we're spiritually miles deep, but we can't even bring a cup of cold water to somebody else. You can have all the knowledge. You can attend church all the time. You can have these chairs contoured to your backside because you're always here. But if there's no outflow, we're growing stagnant. We're getting saltier. We can study the Bible for years. We can be seen as spiritually deep. But if we're not sharing with others, if we're not sharing our faith, if we're not engaging with others, if we're not in relationship with others, if we're not generous in our giving and our tithing and in our resources and in the gifts that we share, that's where we come to life. That's where those deeper waters really begin to flow through us, when we look beyond ourselves and we see other people. Otherwise, we're just a salty, dead sea. And I love what Jesus said in John 7. It says this, where the scripture says, as the scriptures declare, talking about Jesus, it says, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And I think that's the desire for us, that these rivers of living water, that there would be life flowing out from us to others around. And sometimes we think it has to be these grandiose things. No. It just can be a very simple act of bringing a cup of cold water. This quote's attributed to Mother Teresa, but not 100% sure if she said it or not, but she definitely lived this. Small things done with great love change the world. Small things done with great love change the world. What are those things that we can be doing for the people around us? You know, as we wrap up this series, this Deeper Water series, we've been in it for a long time. We've been in it for several weeks and thinking about all these different ways in which we can grow spiritually, that God's calling us out. But I think about each of these different weeks, it was never just about the individual in the story. It wasn't just about Peter going to deeper waters. When he hauled in that big fish, that big catch, it blessed all the disciples, and they were all amazed, and they all worshiped God. It was for them when the woman at the well encountered Jesus, her life was changed, and she said, you know, he said, he's the living water, but she went back and told all the people that she knew in the village, come and meet a man who knows everything about me. You got to meet this guy. She went and she shared it with others. There was outflow there. When we talk about baptism and being all in, it's not just privately being baptized in your bathtub at home. It's saying, I want others to know. It's about this outflow from our lives. The Israelites walking through on dry ground, we've been inspired for that for generations. We talked about a tree being planted by streams of living water when Tim shared about spending time with God and drinking up, you know, the nourishment from that. What does it say? The leaves will not wither. It bears its fruit in season. We drink and we soak up those deeper waters, but it's for others. It's the fruit that we give. It's what we give off to others. The Good Samaritan. Jesus laying down his life over and over again, we see it's about living in the outflow. So who needs a cup of cold water in your life? I mean, just a cup of cold water. Nothing fancy, nothing crazy. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to be able to exegete, you know, Matthew, and just a cup of cold water. Who needs it? Like, can you notice? Can you keep your head up enough to see what's out there? Can we do that and say, how can I inconvenience myself? What can I do? Just a small act done with love to engage someone else and to create a connection. And then to watch what happens. You know, Jesus sends out the disciples saying, you're going to be sheep among wolves. They're going to tear you apart. But if you bring a cup of cold water, watch how things change. And that's how we unleash what God wants to do in our lives. Let's be the one that lives in that overflow. I think about next Sunday's Easter Sunday, and we're going to gather here, and man, I want to fill up this place a couple times over. We want to share the hope of Jesus. Do you want to share that hope with someone else? Who needs it? Who needs to hear the story? Who can you invite? Who can you connect with? Who can you just connect with by, hey, bring them some water or whatever else it is that they need? But come and connect. Next Sunday, we're beginning a new series for Easter called The Comeback. Going to bring a brand new series. I mean, who doesn't need a comeback? Anybody not need a comeback? I mean, we need a comeback. And Easter is the greatest comeback story. And if you need somebody, you have somebody in your life that is desperate for a comeback, bring them. Share this with them. Share the hope with them so that we can share the life that Jesus can bring. As we close and I think about this series, I just hope that we can enter those deeper waters. That we heed that call when Jesus says, step away from the shore, step away from the shallows, and come experience more. I love the way Sam shared that here, just we've been called to be challenged, to go deeper, to not just kind of have our faith be something that's, you know, just kind of a private thing, and it's about engaging with others and living that out and coming to life, and I'm so thankful to see that happen. And I pray that for each of us, that we would experience those deep waters and that we would live in that overflow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when I think about these two seas, one teeming with life and the other dead and salty, Father, may we look at our own lives, may we look at our own spiritual lives, may we look at our hearts, may we look at our souls and go, God, are we alive? Are we teeming with life? Is the area around us, the people around us, those we encounter, are they experiencing you? Is there life in our wake? Or are we just consuming for ourselves and not willing to be inconvenienced? Father, may we find ways, in just the simplest ways, in the simplest acts, to share your hope and your love, to create a connection with others. Father, lead us to these deeper waters, and in this week, God, we just thank you that you are willing to lay down your life for us, that you are willing to come and to say, I'm going to inconvenience myself, and that seems too trite to say it that way, God, because what you did was just sacrifice your life for us. You gave it all up so that we could find life. You modeled for us what it looks like to serve, to get down on one knee, to wash feet, to touch them, to engage with others, to touch the lepers, and to love them. So, Father, I pray that you would challenge us as individuals and as a church to continue to love well and to share these deeper waters with others. We give you thanks in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.